218-326-1234. And coming up in just a little bit, it's going to be headlines from National Public Radio. And we got a text on the text line. We've been talking about places to hike before winter. And what have we got, Jen?
We got a text from our very own Dan. He said, hiking and skiing at Habson Forest is always great. Hiking the North Country Trail down in the gulches is that right? Gulches?
I think so.
Is fantastic as well. I'm not familiar with that, obviously.
Me neither.
Send us some more details on that one, Dan.
Yeah, now it's time for headlines.
News is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. President-elect Donald Trump is set to visit the White House today at the invitation of President Biden. Trump may also visit Capitol Hill this morning. This comes as Trump announces choices for his next administration. NPR's Franco Ordonez says that includes Fox News host Pete Hegseth for defense secretary.
It's not unusual for presidents to pull from out of, you know, different constituencies, but this is really an out-of-box kind of pick. The defense secretary leads over a million active duty troops. Hegseth is a decorated veteran, but lacks the management and high-profile national security experience. That said, Trump really cares a lot about who those can present well on TV.
NPR's Franco Ordonez reporting. Supporters of Donald Trump say they were pleased to see him win the swing state of Pennsylvania election day. From member station WHYY, Carmen Russell Sluchansky spoke to some who voted for Trump in Reading, a Hispanic-majority city both Trump and Vice President Harris visited at the end of the campaign.
President-elect Donald Trump won the vote in Reading, where more than 70% of the population is Hispanic. He garnered more than 54% of the vote, an 18-point increase over 2020. Joseph Nunez, who is Dominican-American and represents Reading in the Berks County Republican Committee, says that is a testament to organizing on the ground.
I'm proud of every Latino person that stepped out and said, we're going to try something different this time.
Trump visited Reading twice in the month before the election, which also likely boosted his support here. For NPR News, I'm Carmen Russell Sluchansky in Reading, Pennsylvania.
The government says consumer prices rose slightly last month by 0.2% on an annualized basis. It went up from 2.4 to 2.6%. Concern over consumer prices was a key item cited by voters in last week's election. The Federal Aviation Administration is banning American air carriers from landing in Haiti. At least three aircraft have been hit by gunfire this week. American Airlines says an inspection of one of its jets found a bullet impact in the jet's tail section after it returned from Port-au-Prince to Miami. NPR's Ada Peralta reports the FAA's decision comes after two other U.S. aircraft were also hit.
Haiti is in the middle of another chapter of political instability. Its transitional government has failed to stop the advance of gangs, and a majority of them decided to fire their prime minister. A new prime minister has taken over, but gangs have been rampaging across neighborhoods in the capital, Port-au-Prince. On Monday, as two American planes approached the runway at the airport, the planes faced gunfire. A flight attendant was injured on a Spirit Airlines flight, which was diverted to the Dominican Republic, and a JetBlue plane only found out it was hit when it was inspected in New York. The ban will remain in place for 30 days. Ada Peralta, NPR News, Mexico City.
You're listening to NPR. The State Department says that North Korean troops are now engaged with Russian troops in combat operations against Ukraine. The Ukrainian government has said this too. The U.S. says some North Korean troops are still getting military training. That includes on how to clear trenches, a skill needed on the front lines of battle. Scientists say global greenhouse gas emissions are expected to reach an all-time high this year. NPR's Lauren Sommer reports the latest forecast comes as the UN climate summit continues in Azerbaijan.
Climate scientists have been watching for a peak in global emissions. That's the moment when countries cut fossil fuel use enough to reduce heat-trapping emissions instead of increase them. Some expected the peak to come this year because solar and wind energy is growing at such a rapid pace. But energy demand is growing too. That's because of economic growth and the need for air conditioning with more intense heat waves. According to the Global Carbon Budget, a new report from an international team of scientists, the world still hasn't hit the peak because emissions will increase by 0.8% this year. But the peak may only be a few years away. Lauren Sommer, NPR News.
New Jersey fire officials say the Jennings Creek fire burning on the state's border with New York is still only about 30% contained. It has scorched more than 5 square miles and left one parks worker dead. In California, fire officials say the wildfire burning northwest of Los Angeles has scorched more than 30 square miles. The mountain fire has also destroyed more than 200 structures. Most of these are homes. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News, from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Indeed, designed to be an end-to-end hiring solution for businesses of all sizes to attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one platform. Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR.
Once upon a time, a wild god zoomed all through his memory, in which he was entombed. It was rape and pillage in the retirement village, but in his mind he was a man of great virtue and courage. And he flew out the window with his long trailing hair, and the smoke from the bodies went straight up in the air. He was a wild god searching for what all wild gods are searching for, and he flew through the dying city like a prehistoric bird. He went searching for the girl down on a Jubilee Street, but she died in a bedsit in 1993. So he flew to the top of the world and looked around and said, where are my people? Where are my people to bring your spirit down? Searching for a faraway girl who was basically a mirage that nevertheless loomed large. She would hang under the rail as he blew round the room and make love with a kind of efficient gloom. And the people on the ground cried, and the wild god says it starts with a heart, with a heart, with a heart, with a heart. And the people on the ground cried, oh, when does it end? And the wild god says, well, it depends, but it mostly never ends. 'Cause I'm a wild god flying and a wild god swimming, and I'm an old sick god dying and crying and singing.
Bring your spirit down.
And that was Wild God by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds from their new album, Wild God. You are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Jen Kellen. And in just a little bit, we're going to be talking with Jack Nackbar about the classic movie series. We receive support from the Northwest Minnesota Foundation, serving two tribal nations and 12 counties in Northwest Minnesota, supporting ideas and providing resources to lift up the people, business, and communities who call Northwest Minnesota home. More at nwmf.org.
Support also comes from FixCon Roofing, professionally trained roofers providing repair and new construction in northern Minnesota. More information at fikscon.com.
And tomorrow night continues the classic movie series at Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork. Tomorrow night at 6:30, they'll be showing the Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers musical Top Hat. Jack Nackbar joins us now to talk more about it. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm glad to be here. It's a lovely day for a day in the rain, as the movie puts it.
So what is Top Hat about?
Top Hat is it's a 1935. It's really about Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, and they did 9 movies during the 1930s, and it's about their 9-movie love affair, I suppose, in which they usually meet as adversaries, and then, of course, they fall in love through singing and dancing. And that's what Top Hat is all about, as usual for them, so that number I just quoted, isn't it a lovely day for a day in the rain? They meet in the rain, and they have to be, but they've been arguing, especially Ginger, and they start doing this dance, but it's competitive. She's trying to show him up, kind of. But as the dance proceeds and as it becomes nicer and more lovely, they gradually come together, and by the end of this 3-minute dance, they're in love. All it takes is this melding of their skills in melody and song, and it's love at first song in this movie.
Hi, Jack. This is Jen. Of all 9 of the Fred and Ginger movies, which is your favorite? Is Top Hat towards the top?
This is towards the top. But I should confess that my very favorite came a year later, Swing Time, which I think is one of the best musicals ever made. But I've already shown that in the movie. So this is my second favorite, and of all their movies, this was clearly the box office winner. It was the second largest grossing movie of 1935, behind only Mutiny on the Bounty, and it turned out to be RKO's biggest financial success of the whole 1930s.
Oh wow!
So it was a really special kind of hit, bigger than Swing Time in terms of being a hit, but it. There it is. It was a smash hit, and not only was it was also, I think, the most successful single musical period of the 1930s, mm-hmm. except for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. But that was a cartoon.
So, a thing about the Astaire Rogers movies is that it is a musical, but like the dancing is almost just as important as the music. Like that's what people are coming to see. Is that correct?
Absolutely. The dancing is the whole key to the movie. There's 3 extended dancing things with Fred and Ginger, and then there's some other songs and things in the movie. But they do 3 extended ones. They do that. Isn't It a Lovely Day? And then they do the famous Cheek to Cheek. And then there at the end, there's kind of a large production number dance. The name of the dance is the Piccolino, which for kind of a rarity in their music has ginger singing. So that's kind of nice. So there's three extended of their dancing, and then there's five major numbers in the movie. Three of them they get to dance. So I think that's more dancing than almost all of their other movies.
Yeah, we were talking about Cheek to Cheek beforehand, that because Jen's been singing it all morning.
Well, and the first version that comes to mind is Billie Holiday's version, and so it was fun to watch Fred sing it, and he was the first to sing it.
Yeah, for this music in this whole movie is by the legendary Irving Berlin. And it was all original music to the movie. They didn't just take songs from somewhere and put them in there. They were written for the film, and it was Irving Berlin's, really his first original movie music. There was other Berlin songs in other musicals, but they were appeared in other Broadway shows and stuff. But Berlin wrote these songs expressly for the movie. And you want to know how big a hit they were?
How big?
Really? There was a popular radio program at the time called Your Hit Parade. And what they did is they talked about the 15 biggest best-selling records of the week. And I don't know how they got that, but that's what the show was about. And the week were during the playing of Top Hat, the five numbers in the movie, all five of them were part of that top 15.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So was this Irving Berlin's, is this the first, is that what you said, the first time he did original music for?
Yeah, this was his first movie where he provided original material. Yeah.
He came right out of the gate with a bunch of hits.
Yeah. And he worked very closely with Fred Astaire.
Okay.
I think they came up with a couple of the songs, kind of discussing what they wanted to do, and et cetera, in the movie. And they became lifelong friends. And Berlin said, of all of the people that had recorded his music, Fred Astaire was his favorite.
Oh, nice. So there's one person I for sure want to talk to you about, because I have been wanting to talk about this guy with anybody who'd be willing to listen, and that is the character actor in this movie, Edward Everett Horton, who every time he appears in a movie, like, it makes the movie 10 times better than what it was. I think he's like one of the funniest guys I've ever seen in movies.
Yeah, and he always kind of played the same character with variations, of course.
And I love it every time.
Yeah, and he's this guy with pretensions, but at the same time, he's kind of a clumsy goof. And that is funny. And he appeared in several of the Astaire Rogers movies. He's in this one quite a bit. Because he's the producer of a show that Fred Astaire is in. And so he and Fred have a number of scenes together. But also, this movie is the key little plot gimmick here is mistaken identity. That Horace, that's the Edward Everett Horton character. Horace is a bit of a philanderer. He's married, but he has an eye out for the women, and that gets around. And there's this mix-up, Ginger Rogers thinks that he's Horace and that he's married, but he's making a play for her, and so that leads to all kinds of problems in the movie. He's funny. There's a scene where they're on a plane, Fred and Edward Everett Horton are together, and he's talking about this and that about this woman that he knew, and he says, you know, she was afraid of storks. And I don't know how that got through the censors at the time, but that was really a funny line in there.
I think he's also like the one of the all-time great double takes actors. He just
gets
funny every time.
Yeah, that's part of his, both his pretension and his bumbling come out in that double take.
So will there be a cartoon beforehand tomorrow?
There will. There'll be a cartoon from the same year. There'll be previews of the movie for December, which is a kind of a semi-holiday movie, but it's a Western, Three Godfathers, which December. Yeah, a John Wayne and John Ford made movie.
Excellent. And he plays a criminal in that too, doesn't he, John Wayne?
Yeah. The movie begins with a bank robbery, with the three so-called godfathers as a part of it.
Well, thank you, Jack, for joining us. Is there any parting words you got to convince people to come to see Top Hat tomorrow night?
No, but you will always get what you seek when you watch them dancing cheek to cheek.
Well, thank you so much, Jack, for joining us.
Okay, always fun to talk with you folks.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now we're going to, speaking of songs, we're going to play a song. This is Cactus Blossoms from their new album, Every Time I Think About You. This is called Something's Got a Hold on Me. That was the Cactus Blossoms with Something's Got a Hold on Me. And coming up in a bit, we've got the Up North Report at 8:30. And then around 8:45, it's Area Voices, my conversation with some members of the Bemidji Community Theater to talk about Scrooge the Musical, which begins this weekend.
That was Andrew DeZingle. This is Jen Kellen. You're listening to The Morning Show on KAXE. We got a text into our text line, 218-326-1234. Bigfoot the Bud Tender said, back in the day, I organized a benefit for the St. Paul American Indian Center food shelf. Tina and the B-Sides headlined the event at the now-defunct O'Gara's Irish Pub in St. Paul. It was a very long time ago. I used to see her at O'Gara's. I remember that very well. And we used to see her at the Caboose and Red Carpet. So many places. Bunkers in Minneapolis she would play. And it was always a great time.
See, so, I don't know these places.
Yeah, that's because you're a youngster. You're a youngster, but I know people listening.
Do you have a favorite Tina and the B-Sides album?
Monster is probably my favorite. That was out in 94. That was her second album. Young Americans came out in 92. That's a great one, too. They all hold up so well. That was the great thing about hearing her on Saturday. Like I said before, you kind of have really good memories and you think, but it all held up great. And her live shows were just so much fun. Just so much fun. I was telling you off air, one of her songs, Politics Polka, as soon as she plays the first note, the entire room just starts to jump. And you would jump through the whole song 30 plus years ago. We tried to do that on Saturday, but we were all 30 plus years older. We had it, we kind of kept it going, but you know, we'd tag in, tag out. So the room was in motion the whole time, but we didn't have to all do it the whole time. So
yeah, and you mentioned that you shut down a place.
No. I thought we should because there was a balcony at the Red Carpet, and we would jump on that, and it would just be like, oh, we're gonna bring the place down. But Tina told a story on Saturday of playing, I think she said in Madison, Wisconsin, one time, and that song came on, and the whole room just started to jump, and someone called the fire marshal because they thought that they were going to bring the house down, literally. So that was fun.
Very cool. So if you have a Tina and the B-Sides,
yeah,
or if you remember these places that Jen has mentioned,
yeah,
we'd love to hear from you. Text us at 218-326-1234. We'd love to hear from you. And support comes from Hot Spring Hot Tub of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Information available at hotspringhottubmn.com.
Support also comes from the Minnesota Historical Society, presenting holiday sleigh rides at the Forest History Center in Grand Rapids, featuring a horse-drawn sleigh ride through the Northwoods to make holiday memories in the great outdoors. Private group reservations available upon request. More information at mnhs.info/forestholiday.
And we receive support from the Bonner Eye Clinic, with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, welcoming Dr. Carlisle to their team, offering lid and cataract surgery, general eye exams, and more. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly. So we were expecting rain all day, but it doesn't seem to be raining right now here, at least in Bemidji.
No, it kind of turned off. I wish it would start again.
But we can expect rain today until at least 5 p.m., cloudy with highs in the low 40s, south-southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy overnight with a chance of rain, lows 33 to 35 degrees, light and variable wind. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, highs 44 to 45 degrees, calm southeast winds 5 miles per hour, evening lows in the mid-30s. And Friday mostly sunny with highs near 50 degrees. Now it's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. The Hubbard County attorney has died at his home Saturday of cancer. 43-year-old Jonathan Frieden was appointed to the county attorney position in 2017 after being employed there as an assistant attorney. In his obituary, Frieden was described by an unnamed assistant attorney as, quote, a prosecutor who was much more interested in justice and getting it right than winning. Frieden leaves behind a wife and three daughters. The Minnesota State Fire Marshal's office is urging caution around propane storage in the wake of an explosion in a storage container that injured a father and five children in Bagley last week. The investigation has determined that a 100-pound propane cylinder, believed to be empty, contained enough residual gas to fill the container to dangerous levels. The explosion was sparked by a cigarette lighter. The father and his children entered the storage container to retrieve toys. The children entered first and did not recognize the distinct odor of mercaptan, an additive that gives propane its telltale gas smell. The five children and their father remain in critical but stable condition at Hennepin Healthcare Hospital in Minneapolis. The fire marshal's office recommends storing propane tanks outside and says to never assume a tank is empty. Homes, campers, fish houses, and other areas with propane heating units should be equipped with smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, and explosive gas detectors. Beginning this week, Essentia Health is expanding mammography options across the region. The mobile team will make regular visits to offer mammograms in Ada, Aurora, Deer River, Deerwood, Hibbing, Pine River, and Staples in Minnesota. In a news release, radiologist John Valisano says bringing the breast cancer screenings directly to the community makes them more accessible for those who face challenges traveling long distances for health care. A ribbon cutting for this service will be 5 p.m. Friday at Essentia Health St. Joseph's Pine River Clinic. At the ribbon cutting, you can tour the mobile mammogram unit and learn more about the providers, care options, and breast health services offered in Pine River. The public can now submit written comments on Crow Wing County's Aquatic Invasive Species Prevention Plan. The state legislature allocated more than $470,000 to prevent the spread of AIS within Crow Wing County's lakes and rivers in 2025. The plan proposes more than 13,000 inspection hours between 43 public landings, operating two mobile decontamination stations at multiple public landings, creating grant funding opportunities for lake associations, and education and awareness campaigns. Comments will be accepted until December 8th with more information at crowing.gov/AIS. It's a busy time of year for high school sports with the state volleyball just wrapping up, football underway, and swimming and diving just around the corner. Megan Buffington is back with an update on all the exciting wins and heartbreaking losses.
The Kitson County Central Bearcats volleyball team are the Class A consolation runners-up, falling in four to New Life Academy of Woodbury in the consolation championship Saturday. The Bearcats were the most successful of the four Northern Minnesota teams who qualified. Sabika, Ely, and Hermantown all lost in the consolation semifinals. The quarterfinal round of the state football tournament ended last weekend, and five of the nine Northern Minnesota teams are moving on to play at U.S. Bank Stadium. Fertile Beltrami and Mountain Iron Buell will compete in the nine-player semifinals on Thursday. They'll both face teams from the southern half of the bracket. Staples Motley will play Friday in the 2A tournament. The Cardinals upset Barnesville in two overtimes in the quarterfinals. Manomonwaubun will play in the single-A semifinals Saturday morning, and Pequot Lakes will play in the 3A semifinals that afternoon. Cromwell Wright Area, Stephen Argyle Central, Deer River, and Hermantown all lost in the quarterfinals. 11 Northern Minnesota schools qualified at least one athlete to the Girls Swimming and Diving State Tournament. Head to KAXE.org to see who will be competing before things kick off on Thursday. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
And that is the Up North Report, local news from our area. You are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with the franchise, Jen Kellen. And we're here until 9 o'clock, and then we're going to hand things over to Susan Lick for On the River, followed by World Cafe, followed by new music. So, Jen, we were talking about when we do the Wednesday morning show, we kind of like to look, what national day is it today? And you found something.
I found something for today, November.
Because I wasn't finding nothing.
No,
it's Jimmy Kimmel's birthday and Whoopi Goldberg. That's what I found
that's
out.
That's what you found. You know, and that's worth noting, I guess. So happy birthday. But I found that it's also World Kindness Day. Is this a day that you had heard about? Did you know about World
Kindness? No, I've never
heard
of World Kindness Day.
It started back in 1997.
97, that's the year the Stephen and Argyle joined together to become the Stephen Argyle Central School, The Storm.
Uh-huh. And it was the year in between Tina's Salvation album and Tina's It's All Just the Same album. Anyway, in between that, World Kindness Day was invented. The United States officially joined this coalition of countries in 2018. So it is a day that we celebrate in this country.
So what are you going to do today to promote world kindness?
I think I will say hello to people on the street as I pass them.
On this rainy day?
On this rainy day. Mm-hmm. Mm. Or maybe hold a door open for someone.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I was going to do.
Oh, I took your idea. Well, we could both do it.
Yeah, we can hold doors for a bunch of people today. That seems like a nice thing.
It's any kind of random act of kindness you could do today. Just to let people know that we're all looking out for each other.
You ever done that thing where you buy someone's dinner in the drive-thru beforehand?
No, I was just going to ask you that because, of course, you showed that funny skit. of kind of the reverse of that. Someone tried to pay it forward and then tried to get back in line quick to collect his own. I have never participated in one of those. Have you?
I have, I think, once before.
You, so you...
Someone bought it for me, so I continued the chain.
Okay, how do you know what... Okay, so was it at like a coffee shop or fast food?
It was at a fast food place.
Okay, so how do you know like how much you need to pay it forward?
You just say you're going to pay the meal beforehand. But, like, I'm usually by myself, so it's just like, now I'm paying more than what I was planning to in the first
place.
But
it's because you're being kind. It's not about reciprocity.
What if it's a family of, like, five behind me, and they're ordering, like, three Happy Meals or something?
Then you're being extra kind. You're paying it forward. No, yeah. I have never. But maybe people will be doing that today. Maybe that's the way people are going to mark this day.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Let us know. What are you going to do for World Kindness today? Text us at 218-326-1234. Now I want to play a song from our album of the week. It is New Internationale by Kit Sebastian, the third album by the duo of Kit Martin and Merv Erdem. A lot of the songs were written on the road, inspired by sounds they heard while touring the world. And the album incorporated such instruments as the Turkish clarinet, santur, oud, zither, harpsichord, and more. And the song I'm going to play is called Bol Bol Bol.
Şeker romantik, insan içinde apatik. Anlamadım ben seni. Kur artık de- beni hiç ilgilendirmez ama bul artık dengeni, bul artık dengeni, kur şu dengeni, bul artık dengeni, bul, bul, bul şu dengeni, kur, kur, kur artık dengeni, bul şu dengeni, bul şu dengeni, bul artık dengeni, kur şu dengeni.
And that was Kit Sebastian with the song Bool 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 from their new album New Internationale, our album of the week. Let us know what you think of the album of the week. Text us at 218-326-1234. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Jen Kellen. We are the Wednesday Morning Show crew today.
We receive support from Atchison Tire in Grand Rapids, providing service and offering tire brands like Bridgestone, Firestone, and Toyo, serving the area since 1916. More at AtchisonTire.com.
And support for KAXE comes from the Grassroots Concert Series, presenting Charlie Wagner on Friday, November 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Live Well Nightclub and Coffee Bar in Nisswa. Doors open at 6:30. More information can be found at grassrootsconcerts.com. And a quick look at the weather. It's supposed to be rain today until 5 p.m. Cloudy with highs in the low 40s. South-southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy overnight with a chance of rain. Lows 33 to 35. Light and variable wind. And tomorrow mostly cloudy. Highs 44 to 45 degrees. Calm southeast winds 5 miles per hour. And evening lows in the mid-30s. Now it's time for Area Voices, my conversation with local arts in the area.
Father Christmas, Father Christmas, he's the meanest man in the old wide world. In the old wide world, you can feel it.
My name is Andrew DeZingle, and I'm the producer of Area Voices. As we approach the holiday season, one of the biggest tales we share is the Christmas Carol, and the Bemidji Community Theater is going to be sharing that tale in the form of a musical, more specifically Scrooge the Musical. And performances will be going on November 15th through the 17th and November 22nd through the 24th. And today I'm joined by two members of the production team who are putting on this show.
Hi, I'm Mary Knox Johnson, and I'm the director, stage director, of Scrooge the Musical, and I also help with the design and costuming and the set.
I'm Christine Cannon. I'm the stage manager, which means I herd all the cats. I also costume manage and work with Mary on different issues having to do with the set, costumes, and overall look.
How did the decision come about to do Scrooge the Musical?
Long ago, we did A Christmas Carol, and we've had many people ask us over the years, oh, wouldn't it be nice to do A Christmas Carol again? But we don't have time over the December time period to mount a production like that, and we've had other things we wanted to present to the public. So we were looking for something that might fill in our fall musical and also get us back to Charles Dickens.
And so for a musical like this, how did that practice schedule go? Like, do you start with like getting the music down first, or is it getting the choreography? Like, kind of what is the step-by-step process?
It starts with learning the music. And while the cast is learning the music, Mary and I are measuring, sorting, pulling costumes, trying to get shoes on people's feet. That's always a challenge. And you start with the music, and then as you start to build it, you start putting it on stage and blocking it. And that's where the cat herding comes in, because not everybody is on stage at all times. And the cast in this case, what is it, 40?
41.
41. The cast has a lot of young children and a lot of first-time actors.
So there was kind of a large learning curve. But also complicating it was the fact that we wanted to do some renovations to our stage and our seating area. So we had to wait for that to get done. So we didn't have a stage to rehearse on. So definitely first we learned the music. Then we started to learn some of the dance routines that we could just do in a large room. And then we even started to block the show in that same room. And finally we're able to put it on the stage.
So you mentioned that there's some renovations going on. at the theater as well. And you mentioned new seating. What's the new seating
like? Oh, I'm kind of excited about that. If you've ever been in a movie theater or in a recital hall, the comfortable seats that fold up, theater seating, in other words, we were able to acquire 92 of those types of seats. And before, we've always had chairs. And because they were not affixed to the floor, the chairs had to be ganged. They had to be connected together per fire code. And it made it a little close for comfort for some people sitting, you know, right next to that person that sits in the next chair over. And those were one of the complaints that we'd gotten over time about the seating. So when we were able to get those, we jumped on it.
So what would you say for having such a large cast involved? How is that directing when there's like so many people that are like doing roles on stage? Is it difficult to like keep track of everyone of what they're doing at all times?
It is difficult to keep track of what everyone's doing at all times. And so I come up with a schematic usually and tell them that they are responsible for knowing where they're supposed to be. But the bigger problem is when someone is absent, for example, and then we have what I call ghost people on stage. And so you're trying to, in your mind, remember who is standing there, how tall they are, how they fit in with the rest of the group. So that's always complicates rehearsals because sometimes people have to miss rehearsals. But I think on the whole, maneuvering 41 people around the stage, because there are times where all 41 of them are on the stage, it becomes a challenge, yes. But the design of the set is multi-leveled. So we have people can stand at the 8-foot level. People are standing on the floor of the theater itself. They're standing a foot and a half on a platform. We use the stairs, so we have lots of different contouring of where the actors are performing at any given time.
And so this is set in like Victorian times. How was the set design portion of that capturing that era of time? And then also with costume selection, was that a difficult process to find that much Victorian era clothing for such a large cast?
Not too bad, because we have quite a selection of Victorian era clothing. We've still had to make some things, some capes, some dresses for the late 1700s, because of course it goes back in time when he was a young clerk with Mr. Fezziwig, and so all of the people there had to be in different kinds of clothing than the 1843 when this is set. But we had quite a collection, and so it's not all that difficult to pull costumes. What's more difficult is with the littler people, to make sure they have shoes and make sure they remember to wear tall socks because they're in knickers. That kind of thing makes it a little difficult. But we have very wonderful people who sew for us and people who mend for us and people who add buttons. So that sort of thing.
I think the biggest challenge was, so you have 41 people just in their regular Victorian costuming, and then each of those 41 people might play 4 or 5 other people. And so multiply that by, you know, 5 or 6 different parts. I don't think we've even counted the number of costume pieces that at any given time are being changed or mended or put in different places on the stage. So to look at our backstage area, everybody has hooks. And so there are just like these long, giant rows of hooks, about 14 or 15 feet long. And everyone has a name, and this is where they put their ghost costume, or this is their servant costume, or this might be their cape for another scene. So that was some of the challenges, figuring out who is an extra in another part, and thus they need a different costume for that particular scene.
And getting them to remember, you know, this is a cast of many first-timers. And as we start getting into wearing costumes on stage, they got used to where they come in, where they stand, what they say. But you add a costume to that, and you'll have somebody come out in a totally different costume because they forgot they had to be that different person for this scene. And so they come in with just a totally strange costume on. And that's always interesting.
It has been kind of humorous looking at some of that. It's like, oh, they don't realize we're in the 1700s and they're dressed for the 1800s. Or, I don't think they had top hats during that time or something of that sort. So,
where's your tricorn?
Yes.
I don't know. Where's your shirt? I hung it somewhere.
So that's interesting that there was a lot of first-timers that came out for the show. Do you have any inkling of what kind of spurred them to give this a shot?
There were a lot of families that auditioned together. So we have whole family groups. Yes. That are in this show.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a family of a husband and a wife and three children. We have another father and his two daughters. We have a mom and her three kids. So I don't know. I mean, some of them have been in shows before, a couple of them, but I think maybe they spread the word. And so it was unusual that we got so many family groupings that actually auditioned.
And is that exciting for you of being able to, like, a new fresh person to like mold into the show? Like, is that an exciting aspect of putting on a show like this?
That is really fun. I mean, I can think back to when we did Annie, for example, and some of the kids that are in theater now. For example, the girl that played the littlest one, the littlest orphan in Annie, is now in high school. And so you can see in some of the kids that we see now, you can see, well, if they stay with theater, they might be, you know, doing some bigger parts as they get older. You can see the potential, I think.
You can see the growth.
Yeah, you can see the growth definitely in some of these kids.
But the challenge was we had a group of people who had never done theater before. We have a grandpa and a grandson, too.
Yes, we do.
And what happens is none of them know the basics. You have to start with upstage, downstage, stage left, stage right, different levels, 5 feet of space. Here's your costume. It's going to take you a while to get used to this. And sometimes they even come out with mismatched costumes. Half of this era and half of that era. So we get really interesting things. And this is a very prop-heavy show. We've got, you know, the whole Cratchit family has the food, and there's the butcher, and there's
Giant turkey.
Yeah, they can't see how big I'm holding my hands, but this is literally the size of the turkey. It's like my wingspan.
And then on top of that, the show has some fantastical elements of ghosts and spirits involved.
Yes, we can.
Can you give us a hint of like what we should expect for those?
Well, we do have the ghosts. And of course, you always have some fog, but we're going to experiment with our lighting. And we are trying some videography for some of the special effects. So far it's not exactly all fine-tuned, but I think we'll get it. So Marley will appear in, hopefully, knock on wood, triplicate, much bigger than he is.
This has a lot of technical aspects to it as well.
So what's your favorite part in the musical creating process?
That is a tough question.
I'm not sure.
The favorite part.
Oh, golly.
To me, it's the creation of it, because even though I have a vision, you know, your vision is imaginary. It hasn't been reproduced in real life. And even though we've done A Christmas Carol before, it's totally different. This show is totally different in our design, in our people, obviously. And even though we're using some of the same costumes, it is still so different from how it was before.
Yeah. I think for me, it's the old Mr. T statement, I love it when a plan comes together and people go out there and look good and sound good and connect with each other. It's the connection. You can put 42 people on a stage who are all singing the same thing and doing their parts and looking terrific on an exquisite set. And if they are not connected to each other, if they don't feel the nature of their role in this overall production, it's kind of flat for me. But as soon as you see that they get it.
I think it's like a puzzle. That we have 41 puzzle pieces, and so we put all these puzzle pieces together to create this whole. And sometimes it's different from what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But so far, I think it's coming out the way we want it to be. There's a couple little tweaks we still want to make as far as that motivation for an actor, especially with some of the younger people. They know their blocking, they know their dance, they know their songs, they know their lines, but they just don't have their motivation yet. They just don't have the anger that they need or their attitude towards Mr. Scrooge that they are showing bodily through their gestures, you know, and the looks on their faces. But they'll get it.
Oh, yeah.
So where can people get tickets for the show?
We have 3 ticket outlets for physical tickets. That's at Mackenzie Place, My Bemidji, and Ken K. Thompson Jewelry. We have tickets sold online on our website, and then we will have tickets at the door.
It'll just be general seating. So first come, first serve. Don't wait till the last minute to get your tickets, because we are getting groups. I just had a reservation for 20 already.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we're getting reservations for larger groups of people who are picking up their tickets. So don't wait until the last minute to get those tickets. And now along with this, too, we are having our book giveaway. So we have our Project Literacy. I think we've been running about 8 years now.
Close.
And so for every show that we say is appropriate for children to attend, we give away a free book to every child in attendance. So they will be able to get a free book during A Christmas Carol. And over time, I believe we've given almost 10,000 books away now to people in the area. So we're always trying to solicit for books, slightly used or new books, to give to our donation. Because we'll be doing the same thing in the spring when we do Disney's Little Mermaid Junior. And obviously we'll need lots more books for that show than we do for A Christmas Carol. And they're also running a special contest, a holiday ugly sweater contest. So if you wear an ugly sweater, you can have your picture taken at the photo booth at BCT, and then you have to post it online, and there are some other regulations that go with it, and there will be some prizes. But our young people from Disney's Little Mermaid Junior are going to the cities for a tour of as much theater as they can see over a weekend, and so they're trying to earn some of their funds to be able to see all of that theater.
Come and have fun.
Yes. Start your Christmas spirit holiday now and shop at the boutique, because the kids are also making Victorian Christmas ornaments that will be available to help fund their trip too.
Yeah, we have a group of little entrepreneurs, let me tell you.
We do.
Mary Knox Johnson and Christine Cannon have been my guests today. Scrooge the Musical is going on November 15th through the 17th and November 22nd through the 24th at the Bemidji Community Theater. Area Voices is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
He's a mean old bean, as we all have seen, and I'm here to say we should all say Father Christmas. Father's Christmas.
And you are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. I'm Andrew DeZingle. We're here with Jen Kellen, and we're about to hand things over to Susan Lick for On the River. Programming on KXE is supported in part by Pickett Agency, an official MNsure partner. It's open enrollment season, and Pickett Agency is here to support the Bemidji community with health plan enrollment and guidance. More information is available by calling 218-751-1213 or by visiting PicketAgency.com.
Thank you for spending your morning with us. You have been listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We're telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation.